Welcome to another episode of the Hypecast. Today we had a great mate of mine, Jared Bell, the owner of Mr. Consistent and Soda Pop Agency, joining us in the studio today, and it's actually the first one we've been able to do in the new studio at Hype. So it was great to chat to him. We've been through a whole heap. We started working together about 8 to 10 years ago, back in the Body Science days, where he was a graphic designer, I was a product developer, and just had a really good friendship ever since we first met and traveled the world. I've been to Japan, I've been a celebrant at his wedding, and it's just been awesome to really see where not only a good mate of mine has got to, but just everything that he's put into his business, into his family, and he's just getting the rewards for it. He's got an awesome brand, Mr. Consistent, as a cocktail mixer. He's got an awesome agency that does design for some of the biggest and best hospitality businesses across Australia. His brand is blowing up. We're going to actually be using it a lot within everything that we do, and it actually is a sponsor of this episode of the Hypecast. If you want to try out his cocktail mix, use the code Hypecast and you'll get a taste of it. And yeah, we just ran through everything, where we've been, where we're at now, where we'd like to get to. It's obviously very difficult times for a lot of people, but he's a person that is thriving through this due to his persistent nature and always just about having the best time ever. So hope you enjoy this episode. Leave us some feedback, shoot us an email, hop on Mr. Consistent on Instagram, on his website, to find out more about everything the boys are doing. And yeah, hope you enjoy. We rolling?
Yeah, bro.
Sweet.
Kick us off.
We've got Mr. Consistent in the house, J-Bell. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Good to have you on. For those that don't know, the man behind some of the nice alcoholic brews in front of us and Soda Pop Agency, just give us a bit of a rundown. Obviously, me and you met when we were working at Body Science. You as a designer, me in product development, and then became mates from there. Went to your wedding in New York.
You're my celebrant.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I was his celebrant. Yeah.
Did you get qualified for it?
No.
Absolutely not.
He has asked me and I said, sure. I don't really understand why I was doing that. But then went to Japan for my bucks, had heaps of fun times, good times during lots of periods. And now obviously you're a dad, own a few businesses, so makes things busier, so don't get to see each other as much. But yeah, man, it's good to have you in and good to see all the cool stuff that's going on. I wanted to catch up to find out all about it pretty much because, yeah, always knew you were talented, but now it's fucking looks like it's going nuts.
Yeah, we got a bit on at the moment. It's COVID is been it's not very nice to a few people, but for us it's given us a little love tap that we sort of needed. We've had the product for like 18 months, the Mr. Consistent product. We didn't really know what we were going to do with it, where it sat in the market and how we were going to sort of, well, what we're going to do with it, flat chat. We had no idea. Jeremy, one of my business partners, is three of us, Mikey, who is also a bar manager at the Collective. Jeremy owned the Collective and he sold the Collective and he rang me. He's like, mate, I can't go home. I was like, I got no work on, let's just go for it. So we just went for it. And that was, I think we launched our website at the end of March.
Yep.
And then ever since then, it's just, yeah, we've just been enabling people's drinking.
Give us a rundown on the product, because obviously the branding is sick, but for people that don't know, you own a marketing agency as well, yeah, which clearly helps when making a product, as we know.
Yeah.
Give us a rundown on the product and how the idea came about.
So we, at the Collective, we always, being a premium venue, you know, people come to us, they want to do weddings and that kind of stuff. The margarita mix especially, people want cocktails at their wedding and nobody can facilitate it. Like, it's just almost impossible. So we'd batch things up, and a lot of places they batch things up for their cocktail list. But we got to a point where we had it so well balanced and so perfect every time, and all of our bartenders could make the exact same margarita every single time, and we could serve a margarita as quick as we poured a beer. So price point, like we could get spend per head out of people way, way higher. And that to us was a no-brainer. So from that, we sort of developed the Sours and the Cosmo and the Bloody Mary and a few other things. And basically the product is like the margarita, for example, we make our own Cointreau syrup, so you don't have to add Cointreau. It's got blue agave, lime juice, and it's all fresh ingredients. So we strain the lime juice, the sours is, you know, we strain the lemon juice, Cosmo, we strain all the cranberry juice, and we balance it all in the bottle. And then all you got to do is add tequila, shake, and serve. So,
man, it's fucking genius.
It's a great idea. It's
fucking genius.
Honestly, there's nothing else in the market like it. There's like Finer's Core and a few other things, but they're super syrupy, super, you know, they don't taste good. Yeah. And the whole thing with cocktails is, you know, shaking the cocktail, the bit of theater, and the freshness of the taste of the juices and the ingredients that go into it. So
it looks like you've just executed it better, because it's one of those things. It's like, seems like a simple thing. It seems like it's just an idea or a concept that's right underneath your nose. And surely someone who, you know, is an expert in cocktail mixing, or is, you know, owned a restaurant or a nightclub or something, has thought of this before. But obviously you've just executed it better.
Yeah, it's definitely the execution. And like, I guess, having a bit of knowledge and a bit of background in product and working with Sal, and we had Kylie at Body Science, who was like the food scientist. I kind of understood where the product could go and how I saw it. And the guys at the Collective, you know, they envisaged the same sort of thing as what I did. And we saw it in venues, and just speed of service and just speeding up cocktails and having really good cocktails at home as well. Like, cause you know, squeezing limes and like you make margaritas at home, you got a pile of limes like this, like,
100%. And Sel just said to me the other day, man, you should get a juicer, because I'm trying to like just up my nutrients and get more fruits and vegetables and stuff. I'm like, fuck, man, but I don't want to clean up the mess afterwards. So, man, that's one of the biggest selling points that you've just sold me on.
100%. Well, I, for whatever reason, always knew when we were working together, you would do some type of product, and it was always going to be a product of convenience, because you were so lazy with doing anything. It was always going to be something.
Come on, man.
It was never going to be something like specifically around health or heart. It was going to be something that made people's, yeah. All through them.
Can't find it. I'm a rookie at this.
I knew somehow it was going to make people's lives easier, but it would be fun, because obviously I know you're a fun dude. You enjoy having a good time. And it would, it's just like such a simple product, as Miles said, that's just been executed extremely well. And obviously I knew that the branding flair, like anything, if it doesn't look good, people aren't going to want to
click.
It just won't go further. So with all the branding and everything, because generally speaking, the people that would be listening to this often listen to it from the aspect of how did it occur, and how did it get to obviously the finished end product in a bottle. Did you start with an idea in your head of the name Mr. Consistent, and then that
this is actually a ripper story.
Go for it.
So we had Mr. Consistent obviously plays on the consistency of like the quality of the cocktails, consistent every time. But when we were talking about, we had this at the Collective, we had like 60 staff. And then in the first 2 or 3 weeks, we had this guy who came in and he did like 2 or 3 shifts. Third shift, called in sick. And he was like, I've got a trial for another job. He's like, can someone cover me? We're like, yeah, rightio, mate. No worries, go do your shift. Anyway, never heard from him again. To this day, he still gets rostered on. I'm pretty sure he still gets his roster.
Yeah.
And he consistently doesn't turn up. So every like staff awards we had or whatever it was, we were like, all right, Mr. Consistent goes to whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And it just
blew up from there.
He was a guy that never got complaints. He never turned up. Like he never got, you know, he never made cocktails wrong. Like he was always consistently what he was. Yeah. Mikey told me that story and I was like, it's Mr. Consistent. Like that's the name. So that's sort of where it came from.
It's a good name. Every good brand has a good story behind it. Yeah,
so that's where it came from. And it's sort of like the character behind it. Like, I've never done a product with a character behind it, and honestly, it's been one of the funnest things to roll out, because being in alcohol and on premise and all those, you know, people are drinking, they're having fun. It's a bit of tongue in cheek. You can be a bit cheeky. Like people are like DMing the Instagram and be like, Mr. Consistent's my boyfriend and stuff like that. So it's like, for me, it's almost like an alter ego that I get to play on. And you know, when we're scheduling posts and putting content out there, and you're thinking like Mr. Consistent, I'm not thinking like me, which is really cool to have and do, I guess.
That makes it so much fun. Yeah. So much more fun. When you're talking about tone and you're talking about, oh, you know, what's the messaging of this brand going to be and all of those sorts of things.
It's just an Aussie larrikin. Yeah. It's a bartender, you know, the bartender behind the bar, he's handing his business card out to chicks, getting numbers. It's all that kind of tongue-in-cheek play that happens in nightclubs and restaurants and bars and, you know, a bit of banter.
Could it be a little bit of a representation of J Bell?
Probably maybe 2017 or something, 2016.
But different now.
When I left Body Science, I went into the agency pretty much straight away, and a lot of my work and my background was with Red Bull and on premise and doing festivals and Gilligan's Nightclub, and then obviously DJing as well. So I was always in and around hospitality, and hospitality's been so good to me personally. So to be able to now not the agency still, you know, servicing the hospitality industry, but now to have a product in the hospitality industry, it's I'm seeing a different side and meeting new people and, you know, getting behind the bar and serving drinks and stuff, which is something I've never done. Always a guy getting the free drinks, so right. Now I'm the guy giving out the free drinks, so that's really good fun.
And how do you think, obviously, like you said, it's almost like you've created something to give back to the industry that's supported you or you've worked in for such a long period of time, similar to our agency, very dedicated towards health food products. Your agency, I always noticed from Rabina Pavilions to the Collective to everything, was always around different venues and servicing that type of stuff. Has a response from owners been probably a bit more receptive simply because you've worked with them and had this relationship with them for so long?
Absolutely. It's pretty funny because being in the industry for so long, I've been able to pull on a few strings, get us in a few doors that probably would have opened previously, and calling on people that, you know, I've had nights out with, I've gone to after parties with, all those kind of people that I've made a genuine connection with in that world. And I've always been just the DJ to them, or the larrikin, or the person they've had a good time with. So when they see their phone ring and it's me, a lot of the time they're picking up and those kind of things, and they give me a shot and they give me a chance, because we've always, with DJing, we've always, customer service for us was 101 with DJing. You know, you have a drink with the people that run the bar, the people that are serving the drinks, those kind of things. It's just like creating friendships and interactions with all those people, and now it's sort of, it's coming back to me as well, which is really cool.
What an important point that there was. It's just like, if someone's calling you and you look at your phone and you look at the photo and the name on that phone, how do you feel? Does it make you feel psyched to answer the phone? Yeah. It's like, fucking J Bell's calling. Fuck yeah. It's always good vibes. Let's answer the phone. Yeah. And if he's just like, hey man, can you do a favor for me? You're like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Always good vibes. Or do you pick up the phone and when this person's ringing, you're like, you either don't answer it or is it just, you know, it's going to be shit vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Important point in starting a new product. Yeah. Make sure whoever you're calling, they want to answer.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, you go through your phone list and I'm like, I had such a good night with that person. That guy's a legend. I'm going to give him a call. And you call him, they're like, yeah, man, we'll run it for sure. Give us the rundown, you know, show us what it's about. And away we go. And it's honestly paid off. I redid the branding for Rabina Pavilion.
Yep.
And the general manager there was like, there is no way that I can sell this stuff for $30 a bottle. Yep. He's like, I've got Finest Core over there that's like $12. I've got the Jose Guevara stuff over there that's $10. I give it away with bottles of tequila. He's like, I can't sell these for $30. I was like, man, give us a chance. Like, please just give me a chance. Let me prove you wrong. And he was
in
like,
the bottle shop?
Yeah. In the bottle shop. Yep. They've got a big liquor ledger there.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, man. I was like, all right, let me put, you know, 6 or 12 bottles of each in. I think we had four. We had like the Sours Margarita and the Bloody Mary at that stage. Yeah, it was three. And I was like, put them in. Let's see how they go. He rang me 2 days later. He's like, I'm sold out.
Wow.
And I was like, he's like, I'll be the first to eat my words. He's like, you've got a product. He's like, this stuff's good. He's like, get me 24 of each right now. And then next week sold out. And that has then led to he's now got confidence in our product that it's that good. And the people that are buying from their bottle shop tend to drink in their bar, which, in the in the Ribena Pavilion. So it's now going to go across the bar. So those people that, you know, drink in Mystic Consistent at home are now going to be able to drink Mystic Consistent over the bar there.
That's,
and, you
so
know,
sick.
Hospitality yeah. stuff yeah. as well. I mean, you would know from owning a cafe, like yeah. training and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Massive. It can be a bit of a pain in the ass getting a group of people together.
Yeah.
So we've offered them a product, you know, 75 mils of mix, 45 mils of booze, shake, serve, no training session needed.
Wow. Yeah.
Fuck.
Fuck, that is
genius. Man. Dude, even our team here knew what it was.
Yeah.
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 I found that amazing.
Yeah. I was, yeah. Obviously, I knew what it was, but then I thought about it, and a lot of our team are in that world too. So I was thinking,
what's that world?
Fucking going to
the good times, man.
Yeah.
It's all the good times.
Man, I'm way too old for it. way too old for it. But man, isn't it crazy that you're selling something in an alcohol store that isn't actually alcoholic?
Mm.
Like, that's your biggest customer.
It is a beautiful thing right now for us, because it's allowed us to align ourselves with different people. So we're in a lot of boutiques like dress stores, homeware stores, and places that, you know, they dabble in bar kits and shakers and all that kind of stuff. But there's nothing premium in the way of our product, that, and they can't sell alcohol. They're not allowed to. They can sell it in gift packs and stuff like that. So it's also opened them up to, you know, being able to sell something else, add another line, add a mixer to a bar card or those kind of things. That yeah. people that sell those products, like products in and around that hospitality or like, you know, boozing sort of style area. And we're facilitating, you know, sales for them as well. So it's really cool. And like brand alliance, man, like number one for me, you would know that. Like you guys, you know, you align yourself with different people, and we've been able to align ourselves with some like top end, you know, dress boutiques and like just the brands that they retail in there. They're the kind of brands we want to sit beside, you know, yep. Spell and, you know, Faithful and all those kind of women's dress brands. So that's our customer. Our customer is not necessarily, you know, oh mate, it's running into the bottle shop and grabbing a pack of 4X or something like that. Man. So
have you essentially like, has your sort of launch strategy been use my network and align the brand with other highly reputable sort of outlets
yeah.
rather than, or have you gone down the influencer route? Have you sent seeded product out to,
it's pretty funny, like I've just in this area, like, and from body science and a few like different jobs and being a rebel in those kind of places, you sort of meet people. So I would like DM a couple of them, like, hey, can I send you some mixers? Like, I don't expect anything from it. Like, post a photo if you like it. And I've had a couple of things like that. And I've had one person being able to get it to Celeste Barber,
yep.
which was really cool. Nice, and her husband's like in a video, like the cocktail shaker was like holding his margarita captive, and he's got like a knife, like trying to open the cocktail shaker with a knife and stuff yeah. like that. So you get some pretty cool stuff out of that content.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're about to launch influencer marketing, but we're probably going to go like a little bit of a different route. And we've used Nick from Recipes.
Yeah.
So that like,
man, that thing's blown up.
Yeah.
Fuck, he's done well.
Yeah.
Nick that's been from Blackboard yeah. that's been on here. Have you ever seen his cooking channel?
No. Uh-huh.
Just yeah,
he goes out hunting and
yeah,
like minces his own sausages and all sorts of crazy stuff.
It's sick, man. It is really sick. Yeah.
So like using people like him that it's where at the end of the day we're a family business. Both my business partners, or one of my business partners has two kids. I've got a kid. Jeremy's got a kid on the way. So we are a family business. We enjoy making cocktails at home. We enjoy good food. So using people like that, rather than going the general run of the mill influencer marketing base of booties and bikinis and that kind of stuff. So I'm sure there'll come a time where that will roll in, but we're going to steer away from that as much as you can. And also fashion as well is pretty important. Like,
one thing I didn't even realize until, I think I saw a Mr. Consistent post hit me, and then I thought about you, and then I messaged you, and then I was just thinking about the stuff that we did back in the day, and then I thought about Miles. I was like, you guys are almost identical in terms of photography, design. The difference, obviously, you went down law, but surf, and then agency, product. And I was like, fuck, how have they not met, like, in some way?
Yeah, we have, but didn't put two and two together. And Sel's talked about you for ages. Yeah. Oh, like your escapades in Japan and JBL this and JBL that.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, you just never connected all the dots. Yeah, and then we came and shot some video of you guys playing, DJing at the Byron Hotel or whatever it was. And man, I never put two and two together, honestly.
So the DJ thing was something that, so tell us about how you got into DJing, because Miller and the boys have started DJing a bit, and it's almost like, I feel like it's roles reversed where
they've gone the other way.
Yeah, like they've got
trying to slow down.
Yeah, you're trying to get out of DJing.
We're definitely trying to speed up.
And they're
up.
Just going like full ham into DJing, trying to, like, we're going to have a party here. The boys are DJing. Joey DJed with you the other week. They've got a party at Rattlesnake coming up as well, where obviously you're a resident of who knows how long with a mate of ours, Daz. These boys will probably end up being a resident. You've got a kid now. You've gone the other way. These boys are getting into it. How did you get into DJing?
Mate, I literally, like, I was working with this guy, DJ EA Cut, and he was like this R&B superstar from Shooters. And I was like, oh man, this guy's the man. He's like cutting and scratching and stuff. I'm like, I want to be that guy. And he invited me around his house, and he, like, 2 weeks later, I'd bought turntables, and then it's just a weird, like, weird set of events. And like, I started DJing, and then Bradley Rogers, who's a really good friend of mine, he was the graphic designer for Rattlesnake or Neverland back in the day. He lived upstairs, and we would just go there and party. And then one day he was like, oh man, I'm going to this festival. Can you cover me? And I was like, I think, is Daz and Johnny going to let me cover? And they're like, they don't know, man, just turn up and play. And I got there and I was like, hey, I'd known Johnny in passing from
Bread and Butter.
Yeah, Bread and Butter and stuff like that, and Daz. And it was pretty funny. I was like, turned up and I played, and Johnny came up to me and he was like, mate, that set was sick. That was so good. And I was like, I was so hyped. That was like my first set, and there was like maybe like 30, 40 people dancing. It was like first set of the night. And I just had such a blast. And then Tom, who I DJ with now, had bought a set of decks maybe like 4 weeks after that. And he didn't know how to set it up. So I went around and showed him how to set it up. And we set it up in the garage, and away we went. And we just kept practicing. And then all of a sudden the gigs kept coming in and in and in. And then we had a residency with the guys at Rattlesnake. And then we were at Commune for a little while. And then, you know, we did the surfacing, the Brisbane thing. We did a couple of festivals. We did like Summer Field Days. Splendor, all that kind of stuff, and then that kind of to quite honest, that's what led me into, I guess, Red Bull and hospitality and all those kind of things, because we did the Splendor in the Grass with the guys from Red Bull, and it was literally like one thing led to the other, and away we went. So
remember that. And some of the funnest nights, days, whatever, of my life have been at a Tom and Jerry gig, whether it be legit, some of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life were at Commune, Neverland, that time I deleted Wayno's set for like
his that was pretty funny. Like, Wayno had like this guest, like Wayno was like a coolie celebrity or something. Yeah. He was like, he had like 10 songs on a USB, man. He came in and he played two, and then Sel was up there like dancing and like pretty pierced. And then Sel somehow deleted all the songs of the USB on the CDJ, and we're just like, what happened? Like, just went quiet, and we're like, oh well, that's you.
See,
Wayno went quiet.
Yeah.
Two, three songs in, man. Wayno was filthy because he had to get off, and it was like he had like this full Kanye West set rehearsed, and he'd like been practicing.
With that being said, it was just the Watch the Throne album. Yeah, there was nothing else done to it. It was Watch the Throne from 1 to 12. Nothing else was actually done. But I did delete it, so I did feel bad for it. But J-Bell and Tommy came and saved the day, so.
Yeah, that is classic.
Did you ever want to go further with DJing? Did you ever like?
It was always, I don't know. I've always been in design, so like I always knew there was a that was always my first love, and that's what I wanted to do.
Did you use that to promote yourself? Like,
absolutely,
you obviously making your own posters.
I was talking to Brock the other week, and he's like, "Man, nobody since what you guys have done has sort of, you know, locally done what you guys did for yourselves, and like in promotions and posters. Like, I could walk into a venue and be like, hey guys, we're this much to DJ, but you know, I can design a poster. I can, like, I'll give away t-shirts. We'll do stickers, you know, we'll give the whole package." Where like anybody else that gets like walks into a club and they're like, "Hey, book us a DJ." then the promoter's got to go get the poster made, yeah, and the marketing team's got to do all the marketing, where we just facilitated that. And they were like, as soon as they booked us, they knew they were going to have a full room.
It was like a plug-in solution. Believe
it or not, the way I found out about the boys was through a Tom and Jerry sticker.
Interesting.
That I saw it probably at Neverland. It was a sticker, and this was before I had ever met J-Bell, and I saw that. And then he came to work at Body Science maybe 2 or 3 months later, and he had that same sticker on his laptop or laptop case or something to that effect. And then I was like, oh, you're them boys. And then obviously got to know him and then went to some of their gigs and stuff like that. And man, is Tommy still DJing?
No, he's fully into the triathlon thing. Yeah. And he's not really drinking that much, and he's really concentrating on his fitness and his health and triathlon and that kind of stuff. So, we DJ maybe once or twice a year together, and it's just a bit of fun. Like, that's all it is for us, and we love it, you know. So it's like music still. Like, we don't have a TV in our house; we just play music. Like that's me. So music's a pretty important part of my life. So
what's so cool as well is like you were DJing and you had the skills and you had this thought process that allowed you to get gigs and raise through the ranks, I guess, pretty quickly. And then all of a sudden you want to build an agency and you do that successfully, and then you want to build a product, and obviously that's becoming a huge success. Like, where did you kind of build this sort of
I've had a couple of businesses. Yeah. we had a dress shop. Me and my wife had it's called 100 Words. It was in James Street in Burley. We had that for 3 years and we sold it.
Yeah, wow. And that was prior to
that was at the
design?
End. It was while I was at Body Science.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, yeah, do you remember the surf brand Cult?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a graphic design apprenticeship for them. So I used to surf and I was sponsored by them, and I did an apprenticeship through them. So that was kind of like, that's how I got into design. And then from there, I sort of, you know, the DJing thing and all those kind of things sort of linked in, and it just like it snowballed. And then the opportunity came up at Body Science. And I literally got that job through a mate. Like, I was like, hey, can you get me this job at Body Science? He's like, yeah, I put in a good word. And I
think that thirsty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Body Science strung me along for like 5 weeks and like, yeah, your job's coming, your contract's on. I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, I got the job, and then this big dude walks in, he's all beat up from going to footy training, and he's like, Cell sitting in the corner, and then all of a sudden he gave up footy. You're like, hey, man. Yeah.
It was like around the same time, because I wasn't full-time work yet.
Yep.
So I was still trying to be a professional footy player. Sure. But I was still working, because I was like, how far can I possibly take this? Yeah. And then J-Bell was similar in the aspect of he was obviously surfing, like, you were nearly a pro surfer or something.
I did the junior series lightly. The junior series and stuff like it was a bit of a how do you explain? It's like a break from reality. It was like travel, surf, get paid, drink on the weekends, and like literally like I took the piss for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then Dad was like, "Rightio, time to knuckle down." I was like, "Guess I better find a job." And then that's when the Body Science opportunity popped up. And then I'm pretty sure like they moved Sheepy when you went full time. They moved Sheepy, sat Cell next to me, and then it was just me and Cell just hammering it out for three years together. And that sort of like Cell was like, "All right, I'm going to do Biscuit," and I was like, oh, "I want to do something." I was like, "Rightio, I'm doing the dress shop." And then I think like Cell came to me with the idea of Biscuit, and I helped him out a bit with that, and then. Yeah. In the meantime, while he was rebuilding Biscuit, I opened the dress shop, and then it sort of led me to be able to leave Body Science and start working for myself. Mm-hmm. And then, Cell left, and it was just like I don't know, we're just sitting that close to somebody and like inspiring each other. It just made complete sense to be
that's
like
awesome.
Push and push and push, and we helped each other. And then we even tried to do a cafe / dress shop together. It didn't come to fruition, but it's always...
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I see so many people and they're sort of just like... you know, sitting in their day-to-day life and they're like, I don't really know what I want to do, and I want to do this, I want to do that. And then they might see, for example, us and we have agencies, and they're like, oh, fuck, man, they've got an agency and you've got a product and it's Mr. Consistent, it's going to be huge. And everyone's like, oh, it's, you know, I want to Mr. Consistent. But it's like, you just got to keep moving forward in life, not get too caught up about everything and where everyone else is at, and things just start to piece together if you just keep moving forward. Hey,
I mean, a big thing about also that is I will advise anyone, like with body science, like I had Jay Bell. And so, man, no job is a walk in the park. Yep. Like whatever you're doing is never really easy, and it always becomes a bit easier when you have someone that you vibe with that you're going through the same type of struggles, whatever it may be. It may be starting another business, it may be they're a parent, you're a parent, and you're going through whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Things seem to become a bit easier when you're able to like relate or talk to someone about whatever the shit you're going through is, because you are going to go through shit, particularly if you're starting a business. Like more than anything, that's the time you'll go through a whole lot of hurt and everything like that. So I found it for me very easy. And like Jay Bell said, he was, I guess, he was the creative of body science, and I was the product slash whatever you want to call it, structural side of things. So it was very easy to take things to him, say this, and whether something's worked awesome, something's didn't work awesome, same with his businesses, be it 100 words and me with biscuits, something's worked awesome, some things didn't. But like you said, if you just keep moving forward and you've got good people around you to move forward with, kind of it just never seems that hard. Like you
and,
just
it's, and it's never linear. Like, like I bet you never ever thought that you would own an agency, and then now you have, you know, you're in combat sports and I bet you never, I don't know, maybe you never thought you'd have a, you know, an alcoholic product that doesn't have alcohol in it.
To be quite honest, I never really.
True.
It's one of those things, like opportunities pop up, and me and Carissa, my wife, we've always just said, like when things pop up, we say yes, you know, like things don't happen for you if you say no.
Yeah.
So say yes and see what happens, you know, write it out and jump in the trenches is when you got to, and roll up your sleeves and away you go.
That's so cool.
So with that in mind, obviously DJing, surfing, agency, then during this period of time with COVID, and I know COVID hasn't been a cakewalk for most people, but literally the time that I chatted to you before, you had moved to Sydney during this period, and you've been a Gold Coast boy all your life effectively. And clearly the time to move to Sydney by no fault of your own, just circumstantially ends up being a fucking hectic time. Like,
absolute chaos. Yeah,
just not the ideal time to, and to also give context to that, Jay Bell's got a daughter as well. So for those that don't know, there's COVID being a parent and there's COVID not having kids, and COVID being a parent is 50-fold worse. I don't care what anyone says, because a kid locked in a house.
You got two, man. It's way
worse. A kid locked in a house is like trying to tame a caged animal that is used to just running around, wanting to smash things, run at park. They need to get their energy out. So if you're saying to their kid, you can't see your friends, you can't go to daycare, you can't go to parks, we can't take you out on the weekend, you're in this house with us, lo and behold, my TV smashed to bits.
Because,
because if you don't get them out, they're going to do something. So you move to Sydney.
Cabin fever.
Yeah, exactly. You move to Sydney and then literally, I don't know how long you were there for before COVID.
About 10 months. My wife works for a company called Shopo. Like the opportunity popped up for her, like dream role for her. Dream business, you know, predominantly female owned and run business. Huge in the online world, and they offered her a job, and like we've always, as I said, we always take the opportunity, and we said yes. So we moved down, and I shut my, like I didn't shut the agency, I shut the office that I had. I just went back to working from home, and we're there for like 10 months, and then bang, it was like the fences went up on the beach at Bondi. We live in Paddington, so like 5 minutes down the road. My daughter went to kindy at Bondi. Couldn't go to kindy anymore. We pulled her out pretty early in the piece. Kindy was still charging it. Like down there, daycare's $180 bucks a day, man. Like brutal, it's way worse.
It's brutal here at 110, load 180. Yeah.
So we're like, like after the subsidy or whatever it was like still $100 bucks a day, and she was going 5 days a week. Far out.
$500 bucks burned.
That's my mortgage.
Just burning, man.
It was loose, man. And I contacted the kindy, and that like they didn't really want to. They didn't want a bar of it, you know. Yeah. They were just like, your fees are due. It is what it is until the government says otherwise. So we just pulled her out and just the cancel the direct debit, and we just, you know, it was pretty rough. We were asking for like a bit of help with subsidy with our rent and stuff like that. Landlord just wouldn't come to the party. She was in a bit of trouble herself, so she couldn't really help us out from what I understand. So we were just kind of, you know, we love Sydney. Like there's a good chance we may go back start of next year or something like that, depending on what happens with Mr. Consistent. You know, the growth might be down there for us. So like I'll be the first one to put my hand up and go back down. It's just a weird... It could even be earlier. Who knows? It's just a weird vibe at the moment, and with cases still rising down there, like it's getting worse.
Yeah,
worse by the day. It's definitely not getting better. And like I don't think people on the Gold Coast actually understand how bad it is down there, and how bad people are actually suffering, especially in Melbourne and especially in Sydney in the hotspots and stuff like that. So, it's just one of those things, you know. So. We'll figure it out and we'll make it happen as we do. And yeah.
So man, I where I was leading to with that is, you had an agency, your missus obviously had a dream job there.
Yep.
Your daughter was in school there. You love Sydney and everything. Moved back here rather than looking at it as a negative of moving back to the coast and everything like that. Move in with your parents for 4 to 8 weeks or something.
We're in with my parents. It's pretty hectic. But it's just allowed us to do, like Mr. Consistent was literally popping off. And like I had, like for us, it made sense for me to be here.
Yep.
And so we just packed up, broke the lease, came back, and I've been able to, you know, jump in the trenches with my business partners and roll up the sleeves, and we're packing orders.
Yeah.
Bottling bottles, you know, we make it all. So we've got like a commercial kitchen just not too far from you guys here. We're just in there just going for it. And I felt bad obviously being down there. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm doing sales and I'm doing the website and I'm seeing the amount of sales and the growth. And I'm like, I need to get back to help these guys. Chris's work had been amazing. Like they were like, yeah, we understand. Go for it. Chris's boss has got a fair chunk of followers on Instagram. She even posted for us and stuff like that. Awesome. So they've been really cool. So, and as I said, dream job her. So she wants to stay there long term. So she's loving life. But yeah, they've been really kind to us. So we came back, jumped in the trenches, and we're just going for it hard out.
It's a perfect example of certain people have COVID has hit and they've kind of gone into their shell, rolled up, and not effectively died, but just like said, I'll wait for this thing to pass and then I'll take a holiday. Yeah, and then I'll get back to it once this is over. I honestly just personally think this could be a, who knows?
Yeah.
Who's to say? Like, you don't know. So all you can do is work hard during this period, see where you land.
If you lay down, man, it's over.
Yeah, it's 100%.
My hospitality work stopped. Like, and I had cafes that just, I had owners ring me, they're like, I'm closing. Like, I can't deal. I'm not doing takeaway. It's too hard. I'm like, that's not what we do.
Yeah.
It's not what I do. If you want to lay down, you lay down. I'm not going to be a part of it.
Yep.
Don't blame me when, you know, your business suffers or, you know, you try to reopen and all your customers have gone elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%.
I was like, and it very much dried up pretty quickly for me. And most people that I work with, I try to encourage. And there's a couple of them that stayed open and tried to do things. But it definitely dried up, and that's like it gave me the time to be able to put into this product and be able to like give it the push it needed.
Yep.
Definitely give it the push it needed.
What's the sort of like what opportunities do you see for the product? Is it online? Is it obviously you've got a bartending service in there as well? So if people do parties,
mate, if you want to have a good time, we can facilitate. Basically, it's like that. That's all it was is. Obviously, my business partners, they've owned venues, big venues, large-scale venues. We had, with the collective, they had a catering service. So we had a huge food truck and we'd turn up and we'd, you know, we'd do food and drink and cater and do all these things. And we just loved it. Like, it was so fun going to people's houses and you'd throw an amazing party for them and they don't have to worry making sure everyone's got a drink and that kind of stuff. So we've sort of taken bits and pieces of what we loved about that business and we're going to bring them into this business, and then obviously bits and pieces of the agency and stuff that I love I'm going to bring into this business as well. And that's we're like Burley Pavilion are serving it as well. Sweet, we've got Hotel Brunswick, we've got a place in Sydney, Helm Bar called on Darling Harbour, next to Cargo Bar where we've had a couple of nights.
Cash James, that's all I think about when I think about Cargo Bar.
She stole the saxophone. Just took solo saxophone from someone, man. It was heavy. So started playing it.
She's so good. She's the best.
And so yeah, like, and another place in Lake Macquarie, Bunnell Bay Hotel. So there's like just it's expanding and getting in different places, and it's really fun. It's like there's just for us, there's no limitation. Like as you said, like we're selling a product that is in and around the alcohol industry, but doesn't contain alcohol, so it allows us to do so much more than your average company that sits in and around those venues.
How many people use it without alcohol?
So many, man. Yeah? Like pregnant ladies, people that don't drink. Every day we get DMs like, how do I use this as a mocktail?
Mocktail, yeah. That's what I was thinking yesterday. And
to make a margarita without alcohol is really, it's a pain in the ass. Like it really is. So because we make the Cointreau, the triple sec syrup that goes into it, and obviously got the blue agave and the lime juice, it's balanced. So you just add water and it basically just thins the margarita flavors like the tequila does.
Yeah.
And then you salt the rim and you've got a margarita sans booze. We can fill cocktail menus and mocktail menus as well. So it's like, it's a bit of a double whammy as well. And, you know, kids can dabble in it. It's got no nasties in it. It's like, it's just one of those things. It's just an all round people pleaser.
That's amazing. And it seems like something that's just going to explode. Have you got sort of like, have you prepared for that exponential growth? Like, I mean, you're saying that you've got your commercial kitchens and you're kind of doing it yourself and things like that.
Yeah,
you've got the plans for growth?
Yeah. We've got some pretty great, like me and Jeremy sat down the other day and we've got some pretty aggressive goals that we want to hit numbers wise. And then that in turn, we've gone in and looked at what our kitchen capacity is and what we can and can't do, and adding new SKUs and stuff like that to be able to bulk out the product range. And we're hoping by Christmas we might have like 8 products in the market. Yep. So we're going to go and own the Mr. Consistent, like classics cocktail list. You know, you go to a venue and they've got all their different cocktails, and we're just going to own the classics. Like, nobody's trying to be the best margarita maker in the world. Yep. That's going to be us.
That's so cool.
That is sick, man. How are you guys like positioned? Because it'll lead to this anyhow, but we're having a hype party and the whole thing was...
We're coming.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, and I was actually looking at you could obviously see how it could become like, you guys facilitate everything. You got a DJ background. You clearly have this amazing product that can make alcohol. You know hospitality industry. You know branding and design. Do you see yourself almost like, I don't even know how that would work, but becoming like this 360 type of group that just like sends out staff to parties when everywhere is allowed to do what the normal was? Would you just facilitate, call it a splendor in the grass, where it's like there's a pop-up booth that has this and you man the staff, you man the DJs, you man the event logistics, you do the branding and just build this whole package for everyone?
I don't know. It's for me, I love working with other businesses and other companies. Like I'm not out to rule the world, that's for sure. Like for example, yesterday we went down to Brookies, Byron Bay Gin Distillery. And we met with them and we're like chatting through how we can, you know, help facilitate their customers to use their gins with our cocktail mixes and open up their customers that don't do cocktails to doing cocktails but using their gin in our cocktails. And then people that, you know, that we can facilitate in the same way and get their gins into different bars that we're in that they're not necessarily in. And big brands like that, like aligning yourself with somebody like Brookies, like their history and like – the Brook family farm, and like I got the full rundown yesterday. I'm like, whoa, there's like
macadamias.
Oh man,
crazy.
Like,
man.
It's like their history is like they paid like, I don't even know, I think it was like $600,000 for 137 hectares in Byron Bay.
I know,
37 years ago. Like, and nobody, like they had an auction, nobody turned up to the auction and it got passed in. And he's like, they bought it without seeing it, came up from Sydney. The land was bare, planted like a rainforest, and then they had like all the macadamia trees, and then they worked out they could make gin, met this guy from Ireland who helped them distill the gin, and now they're doing it, like they got whiskey coming. Like, it's just like working with people like that, that's more inspirational to me than, you know, just taking over. And it like allowing to work with people and letting people come into your business and going into other people's business, I think you're going to get way more results and it's going to be way funner, and there's so much more reward in that than rather than just being like,
I'm the one-stop shop for everything. Don't use anybody else.
Yeah.
Agree, man. I couldn't agree more.
Sil and I have been talking a bit more about starting farms and bits and pieces for different ingredients.
All the stuff that's
happening. Man, I'm becoming more and more excited about that concept than I ever have before.
Man, I just think
we're talking like a farm with cows and sheep and stuff. Aren't you vegan?
I've been
just like kale.
Pretty much.
We just make kale chips.
Man, I swear there is nothing like, and everyone will attest to it, if you grow a tomato, if you eat it, you'll never usually eat a tomato. You couldn't give two shits about it. But when it's your tomato, you're just like, this is the best tomato.
Try my tomato.
Yeah,
here's my tomato.
Because you grew it and you saw the whole process.
It's like this product, man. I was like, drink my mix. Yeah. It's really good.
It's just like kids. It's just like anything. When you when you see it from start to finish, there is just that much more reward.
Pride, everything.
Everything to the whole process, because you saw it from day dot to where it gets to. And it just, it's just so fulfilling that, with one of our other products that isn't launched yet, so we won't talk too much about it, but we know we can grow a lot of ingredients within Australia. So it's kind of got to that point where we're like, do you keep buying, be it China, be it Europe, or do you start looking in your own backyard and go, what if we could grow this stuff? And what if we can use this stuff in our own products? And what is that? How does that help our local community?
Absolutely.
That's another motivation that's come from COVID though, right?
I check on the side of our bottles, like I'm pretty sure like the margarita.
90%.
Yeah, it's like 98%
Australian.
Australian. And
that's the first thing I looked at.
Yeah. And it's like, it's the things like agave and stuff like that, you know, you've got to get in. The Worcestershire sauce in our Bloody Mary is like the only, our Bloody Mary is the only one that's not, mulled wine's got honey in it. So depending on, you know, what kind of vegan you are, but it's like, it's got, is it like the Bloody Mary has that Worcestershire sauce because no one makes Worcestershire sauce like the sauce that we use.
Yeah.
So the product can't be as good as it is without that product. Yeah. So I think that sits at like 87%, but everything else in there is like local, like Australian made, like, and that's, we're looking for local ingredients and working with local producers and those kind of things, because at the end of the day, like that, they give you a good vibe when they're dropping stuff off, and it's like it's not even really about the story, you know. It's about working with people, and they're like, they're stoked to be, that they're moving through, you know, however many liters of lime juice a day, like those kind of things. So it's not even about the story for us or anything like that. It's like the good vibes when they're dropping off the juice, and that, you know, we're doing it. Somebody else, like, we're going good, they're going good. It's all good.
See, this is what makes a brand. This is what makes a brand successful. So many people I'm talking to at the moment are seeing opportunities to, you know, just, oh, fuck, I just want to start a product and I just want to get something out of China and start some ads and
drop shipping.
Yeah, and I don't man, really care about anything else. It's so hard for us now, because we've been through this process and we've, you know, seen it with clients and now with our own brands and things like that, how important. You know, you're saying you don't care as much about the story, but you're living it.
Yeah.
And that's what is actually going to, that's actually what makes the brand exciting and attractive to others and successful and relatable and all these sorts of things. So it's like getting people more to think about, if they're wanting to start a product, like what it is that makes it special. What is the story behind it? That's what makes everyone unique.
There's this one thing that Sal told me when it was when we started the cafe and I was starting the dress shop, and he's like, there's two things that people do every day, man. He's like, they eat and they get dressed. It's like the two things, no matter what their day is gonna entail, they're the two things that they do. And he's like, we're gonna go good. Like, you know, people are going to come to the cafe. They got to eat. As long as the product's good, they're going to eat. As long as your product's good, they're going to want to wear it. It's just like, it's sort of figuring out what the people want, what the people need, and finding a gap in the market. Like the dress shop, there was nothing else like what we were selling, essentially. So
it was in Burley Arcade. Yeah. It's actually, I was literally there this morning because I went to Social Brewer, Burley Social. I always forget the name. The cafe that's in the arcade. Yeah. And I remember looking at it and I was like, just by chance, like walking past that furniture store with that chick you used to know there. And then I walked in there and I was like, oh, fuck. J-Bell told me on the podcast today and his store used to be literally just there and started it. I remember that night that Biscuit launched was the same week that 100 words launched as well. And I don't even know how I got that frame. That it was that pink frame was Biggie that said it was all a dream. And we got a photo with it then because like...
Our boss at the current time was like, really, boys? Yeah. It's like, yeah, man, we're going for it. Yeah. I think he was like, shit, they're gone.
It was pretty much then. It was just like, and it was just, and everyone's different. I always say this, that not everyone should go and start a business. And to be honest, you kind of actually have to be a bit loopy to do it because there are so many good jobs that are great, that pay you well. There are good bosses out there, but there's certain characteristics of people that, like, I instantly met Jay Bell and I was like, he has a shelf life here. He will do this and he'll do an absolute sick job, but at some stage he has to go on and do his own thing. It was the same with me. Like, I was always going to give 110% of my soul to whatever I was doing at the time, but like, I was always going to go on and do something else that would fulfill my future plans and who I was as a person.
Just a fireman inside is like sitting at a desk 9 to 5 is not for me, you know. Yeah. Like doing lots of things, and like, I don't pride myself on being the best at one thing. I like to be like good at lots of things. Mm, and like, I'm not out to be, you know, the best photographer. I'm not out to be the best designer. I'm not like, I just like, I, it's just really hard to explain, but it's like, I just want to be really good at lots of things. And all, if you can make all those things come together, then you can create one really good thing. And that's what matters.
I'm so with you there.
Yeah. Very similar in that aspect. So I think it's one of those ones where you would get it all the time. We get it all the time where people come and say, I want to start a business. And ultimately you ask a question, why? And usually it's filled with a heap of roundabout answers. And as soon as I hear a roundabout answer, I'm like, it's just not for you. Like, it's not. And you're clearly a hard worker. People are like, oh, what does it take? And you're like, they just always go to, you have to work really hard and you have to do this. Most people, I like to think, try to work hard. And if they don't, well, so be it. But it, I honestly don't think it just comes down to that. I think it literally, like you said, is a burning desire to provide or help in some type of mechanism that fits with your soul, your ethos, whatever it may be. And certain people just have like a money-driven goal. Other people have an ego-driven goal. Other people have trying to fill a hole. That,
absolutely, man. I got mates that are super money-driven. Like, that's at the end of the day, is like, they just want to retire at 55 and have cash in the bank. And like, there's a good chance I'll work till I'm, you know, in the ground. I'm not going to work myself into the ground. That's for sure. But like, it's just one of those things. Like, money doesn't drive me at all. Like, don't get me wrong, it's nice to get paid and be able to buy my kid things and do things with her and take her places. But that's not the driving force when I wake up in the morning. It's like, I spend, by my wife's always like, get out of the shower. I'm like, I'm just thinking. Like, that's stuff to think about. It's the only place where she doesn't, like, she's not all over me. Yeah. So it's like, I just, like, I wake up and I think what I'm going to do for the day. And that's like where the ideas happen. It's just like, it is what it is. And then I roll out and that's like, it's not like, I've got to hit this amount of sales on the website today. I've got to hit this amount of... Those numbers are all there for good reason, and growth and all those kind of things. You need to have them because you need to have goals. But it's definitely not what drives me. And probably what drives me the most is when somebody says no. Or they're like, oh, we're not interested in your product. And I'm like, this product is built for you.
Yeah.
We will talk again. Yeah. Like, it's just like figuring them out, you know, like it's like, it's just one of those things. So
I just think it's a tough world out there because like even people listening to this podcast and seeing your product, they're going to be like, oh man, that's so cool. I want to be like Jay Bell. I want to create a product like that. You know how many people would have gone, I want to make a tequila, or I want to make a vodka, or, you know, I want to be like 50 Cent, have this. I want to be like Dre and have this, you know, whatever, be alcohol like Diddy company. Rock and all this sort of stuff. You know what I mean? And it's like, but it's like,
dude, there's somebody doing that hard work for that guy. Like, somebody's working hard.
Man, if I was that way inclined, and sometimes I wish I was, 100% like honest truth, sometimes I wish it was. If I was just here and I was just a designer for a sick agency, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm a designer for a sick agency. And I would just be happy. And I'd be like, I know this is my path and I'm going to do a great job sort of thing. But it's just like, there's such a pressure out there right now for everyone to want to have their own thing and start their own business.
It's so funny when you say that, because like being from the Gold Coast, 100% that vibes here. Like yeah. it's like everyone's, you know, like I've got an agency, I've got a digital agency, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this going on. It's like it's all about what you do and what you own and like the things that you're creating. Yeah. Where when I was in Sydney, like you meet people and like, so what do you do for a job? Who do you work for? And then they're like, that you just like down there, that's not all about entrepreneurship. Down there is just, it's very like Bondi, it's pretty heavy, but like in Sydney CBD, all those kind of people, they're just like, it's a bit zombie-like for me. Like they all walk into their offices, yeah. 9 to 5, they check in, check out. Like there is a lot of cool businesses down there. Like Brad works for Atlassian.
Yeah.
And like, man, the stuff he does like is just, the stuff he tells me that they do as a company and a business, like there is really cool businesses like that.
He's hands down one of the best designers I've ever seen.
Unbelievable, man. He's like, he calls me like the 80% dude. He's like, you would send an invoice at 80%. I'm like, yes, I would. But my 80% is 200% better than the last guy's. So yeah, like that's, but then Brad, you know, his 100% is probably 200% better than my 80%. But it's just like, like there is companies that do cool stuff and there's like companies like that where I could probably see myself working, but getting tied to a desk. And like I'm out at the moment, I'm doing sales and like, you know, doing events and same thing with DJing. Like you just, I'm never doing the same thing. If I had to do the same thing day in, day out and work on a particular, like I know he works on particular projects for like, there's no end date. Like they don't have end dates when a product's due. It's just like the product's ready when the product's ready.
Yeah.
And I just like, that's a cool way to work, but like there's no, get this on the shelf and let's make it happen.
Yeah, so. It's brutal. Man, I know we don't have much time left, probably overshot with some of the other stuff, but seeing you as a dad was one of the most trippy things that I've ever thought I would experience. Going from seeing you spewing in Darling Harbour Fountain at a fitness show where you were supposed to be on the stand and on the DJ deck. So I don't even know what music was playing that day. You just left it by the wayside.
Was this a Red Bull truck?
No, this was a Phylex and Body Science. Body
we
Science
Santa the night before. Absolutely. Yeah. I think Tommy was even in town. Yeah, he was. Santa. Like yeah.
It was one of those weird ones.
We had two nurses working for us. She's like, I could have given you a shot. And I was like, you could have told me like 6 hours ago after I spent the whole day vomiting. Like,
there was a weird period where, it's not a weird period. The fitness show was fell around daylight savings. So the clock got wound back an hour, which we were going, we had to be at the stand maybe 8 or 9. We were out at 4 a.m. This was when Sydney was still Sydney pumping. And the cross and everything. Yeah, and then so we looked at our clock and it said 4. Then you looked at your iPhone and then it literally went backwards because like the daylight savings thing kicked in where you're like, we just got an extra hour.
Oh no.
Instead of going, we should still go home at this time. We're like, no, we've just gained an extra hour. So stayed out the extra hour and that's where it all tipped over the edge. I was always one of those people that was always good. Like if I said I'm going to be there, I've had 1 hour of sleep.
Come on, man. I was there.
You were there.
just participating.
weren't doing anything. I remember looking at him there and I don't know, maybe you were 25, 24 or something. I was like, fuck, this guy's just got too much good time in him to ever to ever let this go. And then now, dad, and obviously I think you're like the best dad ever. Like I look at your dad skills and I'm like, fuck, he looks like a good dad. Like I like sometimes look at it and go, I need to pick up my game as a dad. How has that transition been to obviously you're DJing till 5 a.m. then all of a sudden you're a dad?
The first probably like 2-3 months, I just like the DJing just continued and then I just slowly wound it back.
Yeah.
I don't know that as the DJ wound back, the agency picked up. So it wasn't that bad of a transition. You definitely, you know, people are ringing like, where are you? Are you coming out tonight? You're DJing tonight? Like, and I was like, it got to a point you would know, like, I just wanted to spend, like, I always envisioned myself having a girl.
Yeah.
And I got a girl and I was like, I'm just going to give this kid, I'm only going to have one kid. And I was like, I'm going to give it everything.
Yeah.
Like, she's my everything. And I, like, even now, like, working, like, 5 days a week, at the moment, doing, like, 7 days, including the markets and stuff we're doing. Yep. And I just feel so guilty not, you know, giving her a couple of, like, every night I just go home and I try and give her as much attention as I can and give her all of me. I pick her up from kindy. I drop her off from kindy every single day. She comes back to the office and she's
she's just involved in our life as much as we can. Like, we go out to dinner, we don't send her to my parents or Chris's parents. You know, we do that maybe once every 2 or 3 months. And Sydney really progressed that for us. Like, all of our friends have a really cool relationship with her. Like, you would have seen like Tom with her and Lisa with her, and your friends Sydney, Brian and Georgia. And she's got a really good relationship with Brad and Christy and stuff like that. So she refers to our friends as her friends. She's like, this morning we were at breakfast, she's like, "Where's my friends?" And it's like, Tommy's walking down the road, Lisa Bean's coming up the road. And it's like, she was like stoked. So it's really cool like that. And it, like, I would do anything, honestly. It's just one of those things that being a parent, you just want to give them your all, give them everything they need. And it's just,
Man. It's been by far out of everything. Like, obviously super proud of you doing the agency, the products. When 100 Words opened, I was stoked and everything like that. And then seeing you get married and everything, but seeing you as a parent, and I haven't actually physically been able to see you as much because you moved to Sydney and everything, but by far the proudest I could have seen with everything you're doing. Like, just
thanks, man.
Self talks really highly of you, bro. He doesn't say that very often about many people. Yeah. You got
definitely not.
you got some.
It's a tribute. My wife's excellent too. Like, when we had her, we were like, all right, this kid needs to fit into our life as much as we're going to fit into hers. And we've just made a valid effort to really keep her involved in everything and explain everything to her. Like, she says some things and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, how did you even articulate that? And like, she's almost three. And like, I don't know, like, everyone thinks their kid's the smartest or the best or anything like that. And it's just one of those things. Like, I always never talk to her like a baby, talk to her like a kid, and just like explain everything to her. And she, whether she actually understands or not, she acts like she does. And it's worked out great for us. Like, she's a huge part of our life. So,
yeah, awesome, man. Well, we won't keep you any longer. No, you got to go sell some more margarita mixes.
I mean, you got to drink some margarita. I'm leaving this stuff here for you boys.
That's awesome, man. Keen.
We usually end the podcast with anything, words or words of wisdom, anything you live by that has helped you get to where you are, helps you keep pushing forward. Any thoughts? We usually leave the listeners with that.
Mate, as I said, just say yes. Yep. That's my number one thing. Say yes, have a go. Doesn't work out, don't worry about it.
Sick, man.
No, people literally only recognize you for your accomplishments, not your failures. You know. So
sick, man.
That's awesome.
Thanks for coming on, bro. It's good
to
see you.
It's good to see you too. Yeah. It's nice to meet you,
guys. Check out Mr. Consistent.
Yeah, man. And Soda Pop Agency as well.
100%.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, bro.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, dudes.